In our church and our tradition, some of my favorite people are the martyrs. These are men and women for 2,000 years who have stood up for their faith, who have, in the midst of adversity and terribleness, in the midst of hostility, the danger of death, have continued to proclaim their faith and have been strong in their faith. And these aren't people who get up one morning and say, you know, I think I want to be a martyr. That'd be really, really cool. But no, these are people, men and women, who find themselves in situations where their faith is challenged or their faith is degraded, where in some way there is a need to make that proclamation, that very public proclamation, that they are Christian, that they belong to Jesus Christ, to the body of Christ. And they don't back away from that. They don't back away from the evil, the threat of danger, the threat of physical harm, or even death. And many end up shedding their blood for their proclamation of faith. And whether it be St. Stephen the martyr, we read about very early on in the Acts of the Apostles, or the Christians who have been dying frequently in the Middle East. These are men and women who are stalwart in the profession that Jesus Christ is Lord, their Lord. And they believe in that so strongly, in such a tenacious way, that they allow their lives to be given over for that proclamation of faith. And that's really what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is about this strong place. St. Matthew wants us to know that the kingdom of God is this place of light, happiness, and peace. Somewhere in the cosmos out there, to be sure. But St. Matthew says, reminds us, that the kingdom of God is also in our midst. So we need to live a life not only in preparation for the kingdom to come, but we also need to live a life of the kingdom now, here, in this place, in this space. So our lives are made holy because we are surrounded by sin and temptation and evil, lots of yuck, lots of gunk. So we cannot allow our lives to be given into that, thinking that someday, well, I'll convert or change my life at the last moment, at the last minute, and everything's going to be fine. But no, we need to be a living testimony of the faith that we profess, that we need to be a living example, a model of faith, always converting, always part of the discipleship, always unfolding by our very lives, by our words, our actions, our response to the world around us, that we belong to Jesus Christ. And that's how we are called to live our lives. It means we have that right focus about our life, that right worship about our life, that all that we do is to give glory to God. And that's the fruit that we bear then, that glory to God, that testimony, that proclamation, a life well lived, a life of virtue, a life of goodness. And that's the fruit that grows amongst the weeds. And we see that throughout our world, that there is evil, but there is also goodness. And we always are striving for that goodness. Life and waste walk hand in hand. Gain and loss are partners. But the loss, the waste, is endured for the sake of the kingdom. As a matter of fact, so often it is that evilness, it is that terribleness that sometimes allows the virtue to shine even more brightly, to be more obvious, more apparent, to know the Word of God in a more powerful way, because it speaks through the darkness, it speaks and cuts through the dankness of life. And the human heart is small and frail by cosmic standards, but rises to the heights out of its frailty when it loves, when it allows itself to be invested in charity and chastity and understanding and patience and endurance. And what is more, the fruit starts small, but like the mustard seed, one act of goodness, one act of faith, so teeny, becomes a shrub of the home, the wayfaring birds, a passage. And so it is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is that analogy, is that understanding, is that revelation of the kingdom of God. Comes in a very soft way, in a very gentle way, but very powerfully makes a difference in the lives of people simply by holding the hands of those around him, by touching their wounds and their brokenness and their hurts and their pains in very small ways, but the very personal ways and the very intimate ways, allows people to experience the love and the mercy of God fully. Their lives then become proclaimers. Think of the woman at the well who's healed and forgiven of all her sins and all of her afflictions, all these terrible things. She goes then to the community to proclaim God's good news. Think of the lepers that are cured from their leprosy. They now have oneness in community with their homes, with their families, with people around them. They also now shout joyfully for all that God has done for them. Think of the blind man Bartimaeus, who's now able to go home once again, who's able to see and to engage in all the wonders of the world. Again, a proclaimer of faith. In very small ways, in very mustard seed ways, they experience the kingdom of God, but they become then part of that kingdom by their lives, by the healing they've experienced and the testimony that they give as well. And God's kingdom, we have to understand, is unstoppable. That just as the yeast in the loaves of bread or the shrubs that grow that are nurtured and nourished well, that these places and these experiences of God and godliness suddenly are unstoppable. They cannot be thwarted or taken away because they have the power of God behind them. And that powerfulness, that goodness, that grace, that blessing, because it's something very much part of those who belong to the kingdom and are connected to the kingdom, they have that ongoing grace of God, unlike sin and sinfulness, that lacks the will of God, that lacks the connection with God, that wears out after a while, that moves away, that diminishes, because God's light and God's goodness overshadows them. They simply fail to keep up. God's grace is enough. One of my favorite stories, my favorite fables, is The Emperor's New Clothes. I love that story. And we all know the story. These people come to the emperor. The emperor's looking for a new set of duds. And these people show up and they say, "We're going to weave you this beautiful suit, this most awesome suit out of the most wonderful cloth ever imaginable. But only the wise and the knowledgeable can see this garment. Only those who have this intellect and have this wisdom and have this great grandiose knowledge, only they can see the wonders of this cloth." So they pretend to weave for days on end, and they give the emperor his new clothing. As he waltzes out down through the town square in his birthday suit, everybody who does not want to appear to be dumb or unwise, who does not want to appear not to be with it, they ooh and ah over the emperor. What wonderful garments he has. Look at that train. Look at that cape. Look at the flow of the garments. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? All the while pretending, because they don't want to seem that they're out of step. They don't want to seem like they're out of the crowd, out of the know, that they don't belong to the larger group. So they allow, in that very small way, that persevering evil to take over them. It's that one child, the one child who isn't taken into belonging to the group or belonging to the crowd or doing what everyone else is doing, going along with the movement. It says, the emperor has no clothes on. He's naked. And this isn't really good at all. And he probably runs away as well. But to be sure, that story reminds us how easy it is to fall into that temptation to go along with everybody else, to go along with evil. And that's why it is so important to belong to discipleship. And discipleship entails risks. It means that we have to trust in that divine grace. It means that we have to always stand up for those things that are holy, those things that are good, those things that are true. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few, Jesus Christ tells us. We need to be those faithful laborers who stand for those elements, those virtues of justice and peace and goodness and truth. And sometimes people will chase us around with pointy sticks and sharp instruments because of what we believe in or because of what we proclaim or what we profess. But we cannot be daunted by the goodness of God. We cannot be taken away from God's power, God's possession, God's heart. We need to live always in the cosmic reality of God's kingdom. Faith is power for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ reminds us again and again, faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. We have linked ourselves to the God who fashions and governs the cosmos. We allow enormous power to flow through us when transformation and discipleship becomes real for us. When we take on the mission and ministry of God the Father through Jesus Christ and His church, we allow ourselves
to know God's goodness, to ponder, reflect upon the ways of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. When we live within the kingdom that's already here and yet to come, we could do marvelous things as a community of faith. But it means that we gain insight and wisdom and courage and allow that to be nurtured and nourished always. Our challenge as a faithful people is to always boldly go forth and proclaim our faith, to live beyond our limits, actively and infinitively for the body of Christ. Amen.